Good afternoon. It is. Oh, wait a minute. That would probably help. No? Get out of the way. There we go. Okay. Got to hit the right button. Good afternoon. It is Monday. It's Eric Scott, of course. A beautiful day outside, isn't it? Absolutely terrific. And, of course, after a couple of weeks' absence due to police emergencies, vacations, and whatnot, ladies and gentlemen, the return of Chief Dean Rondo of the Westboro Police Department.
I'm back, folks.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, everything's going great. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about it right before we went on the air, and it was kind of inspired this. Saturday, there was a event in the town where I worked, where I live, and the police officer had closed off some streets, and he was standing right in front of my house. And I could see this guy out of the living room window, and he was standing there, just making sure nobody drove around the detour signs. That was his job for the day. And I'm thinking, wow, he's got a whole belt full of stuff. He's probably wearing a vest. It's 85 degrees out there. And he's just standing there. You know, so I went and I brought him a water, which he appreciated. But it inspired me to think that there's a lot of boring in police work.
There is.
And that's what I was trying to see if we can talk about that today, some of the stuff that we don't really think about. You know, you see a police officer at a construction site. It must be extremely boring.
They can be. There's obviously a lot of boring stuff. There's a lot of tedious things that are just mind-numbingly long and difficult. And so let's take my personal favorite, report writing.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, it's it's right up there with watching grass grow, as far as I'm concerned. But it's also very important, right? Right. It, you know, it's an important function, and in fact, we write a lot of, you know, it's not this job is not what Hollywood portrays it, right? It's hours and hours of boredom, punctuated by some moments of extreme activity, followed by more hours of boredom. And report writing is right up there. It's mind numbing. It's dull. But it's critically important, right? And the ability to communicate in this line of work is exceedingly important. So traffic details and guarding barricades, right? So, real quick, when I was in the Army, you know, I was originally an infantry officer, and the first thing you learn in the military when you're on defensive, you know, learning defensive tactics. Is, you know, it's not simply enough to put in an obstacle, right, a.k.a. a barricade, right? In this particular, in your case, it was a road barricade, you know, probably a couple of sawhorses that are put together with,
exactly.
You know, police line, do not cross, whatever. But they got to be guarded, right? And when I say guarded, you know, same thing in the military, right? Obstacles, wire mine obstacle systems, anti-tank trenches, whatever the case may be, are only effective if they can be guarded, meaning you've got to put personnel on those systems. Because if not, what the enemy's going to do is they're going to get a sapper team in, they're going to breach the wire, breach the minefield, or put a bridge, you know, a foldable bridge across the anti-tank ditch, and then they're going to drive across it or drive through it, right? So that's exactly what happened. So obstacles work as long as they're guarded, as long as they're protected, right? Same thing with barricades, right? Police barricades shutting the road down. Yeah, you got to put it up there, and you got to put a guy on it or a couple of guys on it, right?
Now, how is that duty parceled out? Is that one of those things that is there a rotation list of really?
Well, I guess
really,
it all depends on who pissed off the lieutenant that day.
Well, that was the second half of the question. Are those just people on the list,
exactly. It could be actually is quite as simple as what I just said. You know, who pissed off the chief in the last week or so. It could be a detail, right? Somebody, you know, a road construction site crew, you know, foreman says, "Hey, I need cops out here to slow the traffic down or keep people from driving into this trench that we just cut across the road." So. they hire, you know, a quote unquote detail. And that's the, you know, the poor cop that comes down and sits in the middle of traffic all day in 88 degrees and is dying, you know, basically all day. And they can get filled. Sometimes it's just, you know, who's the lowest guy on the totem pole, you know?
Because, I mean, you think about it, like, how do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
You know,
typically what happens, so in a situation like that, you call for, you know, supervisor, you call for a relief. You know, patrolman comes out, dispels you for 5 or 10 minutes, so you can go get a drink of water, go to use the latrine, come back, he's on his way. That's what happens, yeah. But, you know, it's funny, we're talking about this. I had a woman that called the other day, and sometimes I'm convinced, you know, I think they're good intention people when they do this, and certainly don't use this. I'm not going to use any names, but don't use this as a reason to not call me. But we've got to think about what we were asking. I had a woman call me the other day because she was concerned about this is actually a 2-day phone conversation. This went on for a couple of days. She was concerned about Pickering Corner. Okay. And she wanted intermittent traffic control at Pickering Corner, right? And her logic on its face, right, was sounded good, right? So we call that specious, right? I know better, so the logic is specious, but it sounds good on its face. It sounds really good. And her logic was, look, you know, it's a complex intersection. It's dangerous. I almost got struck there, you know, and so forth and so on. And I go, yes, welcome to Wolfboro in the summertime. It is a complex intersection. You have vehicles that are actually driving, trying to go, you know, you have three-way intersection and vehicles essentially going in 6 different directions, all near simultaneously. So you just, and my point to her was, look, you just can't put one dude there, right? You got to have 2 or 3 because you've got such a complex intersection. So one, in and of itself, it's dangerous to begin with. And but the real reason it's dangerous and it's complex is because, you know, back in the day, you know, in the 1740s, when they founded the town of Wolfboro, they laid the roads out like the cows walked, right?
I was going to say they paved over the cow paths, right?
That's exactly what they did. And so what we have is poor engineering, right? And when I say that, it's not a slight on any engineers, or it's not a slight on our public works department, because remember, we're talking about something that got laid out in the 1740s or
70s. Right. They didn't build it. They just maintain it.
Right. So it was just the way it was laid out at that time, and there was very little forethought given to egress and access and so forth and so on. So what we have here is, you know, what we're left with. But think about what you just said a moment ago. You had a poor flatfoot standing in front of your driveway for 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day manning a barricade in, you know, what was, 82, 85 degree weather.
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was warm.
And so that is hot. And then, you know, I'm wearing body armor. I got, you know, a belt full of tools on it. All this stuff weighs a lot, right? The uniform is heavy to begin with, so forth and so on. Then you get your chapeau is on, right? Your hat's on. So there's no heat loss coming from your head, right? And because it's all being contained, right? So your head is designed to get rid of heat, right? Which is what we want. We want to stay cool. So you put a chapeau on the top of that, now all this heat's staying in, your buckets of sweat are pouring off you. So, pardon me. So, this is the problem. So, if we were to stick somebody at Pickering Corner in Wolfboro, getting back to my example, for 8 hours, 10 hours a day, or even 4 hours intermittently, one, now we're not being consistent. Okay, you always want consistency, right? That's the first thing they teach you when you go to the police academy. You got to be consistent in everything that you do. Right? That makes sense. Okay, yeah. So doing intermittent traffic control is probably not a good idea. All right? That'll probably just get more complaints than anything else. But you gotta put, you know, more than one officer at that intersection in today's 88 degrees with high humidity. They'll be dropping dead.
Yeah.
Right, wearing this gear, they'll be falling over dead, right? 8 hours a day? Are you kidding me in that sun? I mean, look, I went to Baghdad twice, all right? I mean, it was like 120 degrees in the shade. Okay?
And there was no shade.
Yeah, and there was, like, no shade, right. So, but, yeah, people need to think about what they're seriously, you know, what are you asking, right? You know, think about the logistics. Remember what, you know, we often say this on this show. You know, amateurs talk strategy and tactics. Professionals talk logistics. Think about the logistics of what you're asking, right? And you can't put one officer there. He'll get struck by a car. She'll get struck by a car, a truck, or whatever. They'll take a step back and get whapped, you know? So you got to put two or three officers there. And 4th of July, we'll have at least two, if not three, officers at that intersection directing traffic, you know? You know, get the people into and out of town after the fireworks display. So, yeah, so boring stuff. And that is actually, believe it or not, the nature of law enforcement. That's the nature of police work, by and large.
My guilty pleasure is back on television.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know, and I'll tell you something else right now. You know what? If you want to talk about a really boring job, The FBI. Those guys have got the most boring job in the world. First of all, most of them are attorneys. The ones that aren't attorneys are accountants. All right? So what does that tell you about what they do?
They crunch a lot of numbers.
They're built, you know, they work on. I've known some agents that have had, you know, how many arrests have you had in your career? I don't know, two or three. Some of these cases are like 15 years. You know, they're doing organized crime, they're doing money laundering, they're doing securities fraud. You know, they're talking, you know, big stuff, really important stuff, very necessary stuff. But I'll tell you right now, I did one financial crimes case in my entire career. And that was every day, 9 months, literally every day for 9 months working on this. I learned more about the credit card system in the United States and how it works than I ever wanted to know. And I'll tell you, I am the wrong guy to sit down and crunch numbers. Thank God I had an FBI agent right next to me. And he was a CPA. But boring. I mean, they're just looking at numbers all day and tracing accounts and looking where the money is going. Oh, my God, I wanted to jump out of a window. The problem is, you know, here in Wolfboro, right? I mean, you know, there's very few six-story buildings.
Yeah, I understand. It is 12:15 here on WASR. As always, if you have a question or a comment for Chief Rondo, 569 Lake, 569-5253, and we would be happy to talk to you. You guys have contingency plans for this upcoming holiday?
We always do. Yeah, we always write. So when I became a sergeant, one of the things that I did, this is years and years ago, I put in an op orders process. We write an operations order, and what that does is it forces the planning process to occur. So we have a plan, we have an operations order, we do an operations brief, we assign tasks well in advance. We have a communications annex. We do all that.
Okay, so you're set for.
We are indeed.
Umpty ump million people coming down here.
Yep, we are indeed. Yeah, yeah, we are indeed.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though.
It's going to be a hoot, and you know what? We're seeing. So I'm glad you brought that up because we're seeing huge numbers in town already. I don't know if you've been catching some of the police commission meetings, but Captain Mark Livy has been briefing the numbers of vehicles being counted by a radar trail. So throughout town, we have a number of radar warning signs, mm-hmm. right, in the radar warning trailer. Those devices have incredible data collection packages on them.
Now, you wouldn't think so. You'd think it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got to tell you, my speedometer and that radar sign downtown don't match by a good 3 miles an hour. And I don't know which one is off. Probably my car, but I was like,
it's you,
weird.
Dude. It's you. So let me talk a little bit about these things because they're pretty cool. So first of all, they're real. They're like everything, right? They're intelligent, right? These guys out there, you see flashing at you when you're going too fast. They're intelligent, so they know where they're at. There's a GPS inside, and we program them. And every time we put them in, hey, you're at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk in Wolfboro. It says, okay, I'm at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. So it knows its location, right, longitude by longitude and latitude. And then it starts collecting data. And the data collection for somebody, so remember, I'm a former intelligence analyst. The data is phenomenal.
So you could mine that data.
It's great.
What kind of data would that thing capture? I mean, number of cars, average speed.
Yeah, all of that, like that. All of that. The mean, the median speeds. The other thing it does, it's a huge time-saving device because here's typically what happens, right? John Q. Citizen calls the Wolfboro PD. Hi, this is John Q. Citizen. I'm calling the Wolfboro PD because I got cars speeding up and down 109 East all day long. Get an officer out here. They're going 92 miles an hour. Click, right? We get those calls all the time, right?
So I've called my police chief with the exact same complaint.
So what we do, so I can't put a dedicated officer on 109 East, 24 hours a day,
right,
looking for cars going 92 miles an hour. Right, it's not an expeditious use of police resources. But what we can do is try to narrow that. So sure, the citizen is concerned about speeding vehicles. We get it. We got it. And he's seeing speeding vehicles all hours of the day. Okay, understand. So now what we do is we say, okay, get out on. We let all the shifts know through the roll call system. Get out onto 109 East. We got complaints of speeding cars. I'll tell one of my operations sergeants, hey, go get a radar warning sign. Go put it on 109 East. Let's collect some data. We'll do that for about 30 days. That thing will count how many cars. It'll tell me what's the fastest speed, what's the lowest speed. It'll tell me the average median speed by time of day. And you can break that all the way down to individual hours of the day. So what that will allow us to do is say, okay, between 6 and 9, we have vehicles that are on average 12 to 16 over the posted speed limit during these periods. And then again, between 4, 1,600 and 1,800 hours. Okay, so what that's people going to work, people going to school, people coming home from work.
Right.
All right, so now we know the time limits. So now, instead of getting my guys out there on 109 East around the clock, we can now target the specific busy hours and say, okay, hey, patrol shift, you have a directed patrol task to get out there between 6 and 9 every morning and evening shift. You get out there between 4 and 6 and slow those cars down, okay? We had some complaints, right? Honestly, I'll just share this with you. And I know there's no mystery here because we've been briefing this on the police commission, but we had some citizen complaints. So it's not one, it's citizens, right? Citizen complaints from folks living and working on Bay Street saying, hey, the traffic down here is unbelievable and it's really fast. And on its face, people go, really, Bay Street, right? In Wolfboro? Side street, what do you got? Some goat herders going down there? I mean, come on, right? It's Bay Street, right?
Right.
So we humor them, and we say, okay, let's see, right? So I put the radar warning trailer out there. Holy smokes, they weren't kidding. Over 9,000 vehicles in 1 week. Now, this is in May, all right? This is not like in the middle of the summer. This is in May, like late April, early May. 9,000, over 9,000 vehicles. And yes, the speeds were horrendous. They were well into the 70s. Now, Bay Street is a 30-mile-an-hour zone. We looked at that and go, oh, we need patrols out here big time. This is unconscionable. So we put a second sign out there catching traffic going the other way. So now we have two signs, and we flooded Bay Street with police presence. And I caught a young man doing in excess of 75 on Bay Street just last month, 21 May.
You wouldn't even think that's possible.
He about launched his vehicle over the hill. When that dip, there's a dip in the middle of Bay Street. I had never seen in my 25 years in law enforcement in this town, I'd never seen a vehicle go that fast on Bay Street. I pulled the young man over, and we're gonna take his license for a while. But so that's the virtue of these radar warning signs. They are excellent tools, and they create efficiency of operation, which is what we're all about. We're about creating efficiencies. Because they're cheaper, you know, believe it or not, people will say, wow, how much is a radar warning sign? About $5,000. But it's
cheaper. Wow, that much?
Yeah,
wow.
But it's cheaper than a police officer.
You know, when I see the one on Main Street and somebody is flying down Main Street, I love the little strobe light that goes off
yeah.
when it's over 40. Because, like, you think,
yeah.
did it just, like, notify the police department or something?
We get, you know? It does. We get, I get, so that's the other thing it'll do, right? It'll actually shoot me a photograph and a date time stamp that there was a vehicle traveling over whatever 62, whatever you set it at. And so when you see that strobe go off, I'm getting a photograph and a notification.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
these things
are really powerful.
Based on that?
No. There is no state law that will allow me to do that. However, I now have your 8.5x11 glossy.
Right.
You might get a visit.
Yeah.
Hey, dummy, what are you doing?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I've never seen anybody drive down.
You might get the naughty finger.
Oh, the naughty finger.
The
not
naughty
that.
Finger.
No, not that. We're talking with Chief Dean Rondo, the Wolfboro Police Department, as always. Thank you for being here. I know that you're a really busy guy, so I really do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
So you've got the summer kind of planned out, right?
Well, in so much as, yeah, we can plan out for the summer, but yeah, right. we have our major activities. Yeah, we always do. We plan that stuff out, and for the big activities, we do operation, what is called operations planning.
Now, how do you decide which events warrant police presence and which ones don't?
So it's more subjective than it is objective.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
The basic one is it likely to goof up traffic? If the answer is yes, you're probably going to have a detail of some flavor, or we're going to have to put cops against it. You know, is it likely to garner some citizen complaints because of something? You know, maybe a good example here would be the boat races, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do the boat races in town. People can't get to Dockside. The handicapped spaces are taken up, that kind of stuff. So, yep, yeah, something like that. You're probably going to have a cop assigned. So if it's something like that that's going to goof up traffic or it's going to cause citizen complaints, ultimately it's going to land in our lap, so before it gets there, we want to be a little proactive, and we want to solve those issues right there as quick as we can.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You hear a lot about the character of a town.
Yeah.
A lot of people mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the Dunkin' Donuts went in and the drive-thru went in.
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, we don't want to change the character of Wolfboro. And now there's a possible move afoot for another drive-thru, probably a fast food drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying the same thing. We don't want to change the character of Wolfboro.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I've found that fast food restaurants, things like that, tend to call the police fairly often for one of a, you know, dozen reasons. But do you think it would change Wolfboro's character to put another drive-thru in? How would it affect the police department?
Well, so the answer to those questions are yes and no and yes. So let's go back and take a look. So will it change the character of the town? If you put in a traditional, what we'll call Mickey D's, right? I love
right.
McDonald's.
And
right?
I'm not, I don't remember which restaurant it is.
Yeah, I like Mickey D's, right? And I'm a fan of Mickey D's over the BK Steakhouse. That'd be Burger
really?
King.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I think Burger King has better burgers, but McDonald's has better fries.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I love my Big Macs. Right?
Those are good. Do. Yeah.
I just love my Big Macs. And I want to know what that sauce is that they put on. You know,
it's a secret.
Yeah, I know.
They tell you, but they have to kill you.
Yeah, we don't want that. That'd be bad. But I like that sauce. So anyway, so we'll just take McDonald's, right? If you put in a traditional style, big arches, you know, with the, you know, McDonald's with the big sign, with the big fry, you know, big French fry arches. Sure, I think that's a more institutional type look that you'd expect to see in a big city, right, like New York or Boston. Wolfboro has a charm to it all its own, and it's that, you know, old-school Yankee colonial charm, right? That's the character of the town, right? That's who we are, right? We're Wolfboro, named after General Wolfe, right? Hero of the Battle of Quebec, if you're of English descent.
Nope, sorry.
Yeah, neither am I. So, I think you can do a McDonald's in town. I'm not opposed to a McDonald's in town, but I think what you do is say, yeah, you can come in and put in your fast food drive-thru restaurant, but you have to put it in a colonial-style building or, you know, a building that blends into the local architecture.
Right, and that makes sense.
And you know, so I grew up in Cambridge, right, as well you know, and Boston is a beautiful, beautiful town. But the one thing that drives me out of my mind, I go out of my skull when I see this, because I'm a historian. I have a degree in history. You go downtown Boston, and you see this beautiful colonial building that, you know, was built in 1742. And then right next to it, you have some geodesic dome that some modernistic knucklehead architect put up, right? And you go, all right, who does that right next to a colonial building? And it ruins it. It literally, and neither one complement each other, right? So maybe if you were at you know, Disneyland and the Futurama, you know, theme park, and you want to have your geodesic dome, okay, there's a place for that. But right, not next to the colonial section of Boston. And New York City does the same thing. You see these beautiful old colonial homes, and then right next to it, you got a 17-story skyscraper, you know, with the windows and the chrome, and it just doesn't go well, and it's destroyed the character of that particular neighborhood, in my opinion. So I think that's the same thing we're trying to preserve here. So I would be in favor of, if you're going to do something like that, sure, I don't see any reason why we can't have a Starbucks, or we can't have a McDonald's or whatever, you know. But if you're concerned about the character, have them build it and put it in a colonial-style building that blends into the local architecture.
And I've seen those before.
Yeah, and they look beautiful. Yeah.
They really
look beautiful. The reason I'm in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, not Boston or Philadelphia, is because I am attracted to the colonial style architecture and culture and heritage that we have here.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
Should it have a drive-thru, in your opinion?
I don't see any issues with the drive-thru. I mean, to me, it's not should we, it's why can't we? I mean, that would be right. The better question. I don't understand the logic about not having a drive-thru. I just don't get it. Now, will it make us busier? Sure. But any activity makes us, if you put in a housing development, it's going to make us busier.
Right.
So that's what we do. What I think we should do, My personal opinion is when we do these large building permits and planned communities in Wolfboro or elsewhere, one of the smartest things, I learned this in college when I was getting my master's degree in public administration, you put in a public impact cost associated with that. So if you're going to put in a 25-home development, right, you're going to add a couple hundred people to the rolls of the town eventually when the thing is finished. So you assess the builder with that impact fee, so the town can hire police and fire and EMS personnel because it's going to make the activity go up.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. They'll bring children. The children go into the school system. Right.
You know, it was years ago, this is kind of funny, years ago, the district was building, you know, they were building what is now the SAU, the high school complex, right, at Kingswood. And
which is really
the school district,
by the way.
School district, yeah, it's beautiful. The school district was saying, oh, we've had a 25% growth in student population and we need to do this. And yet, I had a lot of, so this was back when I was a police lieutenant, we had a lot of public officials at the time saying, but the population of Wolfboro hasn't increased, it's decreased. And I say, well, the census is wrong. And if, you know, I realize that we're a regional school district, but my argument was, look, every town in the district is seeing an increase, and yet we're not. I'm willing to bet that our numbers are off for some reason. We don't know why that is, because maybe Wolfboro hasn't seen a 25% growth in population, but maybe we're at 22 or 17 or 16 because these kids ain't astro projecting themselves here without a parent.
Right.
There's got to be at least one parent with them. I'm betting two, but there's at least one. So if the district is seeing a 25% growth on average in the student population, then we've got to be seeing something similar to that. And that would be my logic. So getting back to this topic here, no matter what we do, we increase activity, and we should plan for that in some capacity. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that we assess Mickey D's or BK Steakhouse with an economic impact fee, but I'm answering your question. Does it make us busier? Everything makes us busier. But that's okay. That's why we're here. Job security.
Tell me a little bit about what you do to kind of fight that boredom. You know, going back to the gentleman standing in front of my house this weekend. I mean, what do you... You can't wear headphones.
No.
You know?
No. You can't do that.
You can't be standing there playing on your phone. You know, you've got to... I mean,
so,
what do you do?
So sometimes, actually, the boredom is good. And so let me give you, let me explain that a little. Maybe give you an example. Back when I was working the road, coming off the busy summer, I would transition from the 6-to-2 shift, because I was doing mountain bike work then. I'd come off the 6-to-2 shift after, 3 or 4 months of being on the mountain bike, back into a cruiser, and I'd work the midnight shift. And that was great because I didn't have to see another human being. Midnights
that,
in this town can be very quiet. This is going back years ago. But it gave me an opportunity to get caught up in my work and take a break from dealing with the day-to-day, 1% of the population that I spent 90% of my time with. That being said, when you're working these patrols, these details, if you will, whatever the case may be, these assignments, you use it as an opportunity to think about, what you got coming up. You know, you're working an investigation. You work on your strategies for, say, maybe an interview or interrogation. You've got coming up, and I used to focus on what I needed to get done throughout the course of the week. I'd give it some thought. And just think. So that was me. That's how I would fight it. And of course, you always got to stay vigilant. All right, if you're on traffic duty or you got to pay attention to what's going on around you. So
is that a skill that gets learned? That type of vigilance.
I think so. I think over time, you really pick up a lot of things. You notice a lot of things. You observe a lot of things. We're trained observers. And I told you before, working road details, I would often end up making great arrests because you see a vehicle come through and you notice that smell of pacololi as they're driving by. And you radio the guy, hey, I got a smell of marijuana in that vehicle, and you radio your buddy ahead, And he pulls the vehicle over, and it's like a scene out of Cheech and Chong, you know. And
the smoke coming out the window.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it was funny. Yeah, but, yeah, stuff like that always happens.
Does it really? I mean, that stuff actually happens.
The captain, a couple of days ago, beginning of motorcycle week, so my executive officer and I, the captain and I, we Fridays we try to get out and grab lunch, and the two of us do a working lunch together, and we talk about issues and things that we got to get solved, you know, throughout the course of the upcoming week. So we use it as a planning session. It's a working lunch, if you will. So we're coming out of an area restaurant. I'm not going to say which one, and we both go, "Hello, whoa." Where's that coming from? The smell of freshly burnt marijuana was just absolutely overpowering. And it was probably somebody driving by in a car smoking a big old doobie on their way to wherever they were going. But yeah, it happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah, huh. All the time.
Now that's when it gets not boring.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a great indication to go from mundane to... Hello, your senses are on full alert. So you become, you know, as a police officer, you really learn to trust your senses, your eyesight. I'm fortunate. I notice you're wearing glasses. You notice I'm not. I have better than 20/20 vision. Still.
That makes one of us.
At 58. Woohoo! So, yeah. Now, my hearing, not so good. But that's from a couple of bomb blasts in Baghdad. But my sense of smell is fantastic, and so you really learn to trust your senses, and you focus in on them and you rely upon them, and it's just really interesting the way that works.
I was thinking something about that the other day. I was watching My Guilty Pleasure, and the police officer says, "Well, I lit him up, and I saw somebody reaching, or somebody doing this, or somebody doing that."
Furtive movements.
Right, and I'm thinking, I can't even see the guy coming at me when he gives me the finger, you know, unless he sticks it out the window.
Yeah.
How do you guys see all that? So, or is that just that's a training issue?
Yeah, it's really a trait that you pick up on the job. So now remember, I came in from the military, right?
Right.
And so as a young infantry officer, actually, even as when I was enlisted, remember, I was a scout, right? So scouts are forward of the FEBA, right? Forward edge of the battle area. That's called the FEBA. What you would call the front line. We call it the FEBA, forward edge of the battle area. So you do a passage of lines when you're going to go out, right? So, you know, you got the friendlies and the enemies over here, kind of no man's land in between. So you got to get behind enemy lines, right? Because a scout isn't any good unless he's scouting and unless he's collecting information. So you do what is called a passage of lines, and you get out, you pass through your lines, and you get into no man's land. So when you get there, right, we would take about 15 minutes. We'd do a rally in a semi-defensive position, and everybody would take off their helmets and their hats, and you just acclimate yourself to the sights, sounds, and smells of the battlefield. Sights, sounds, and smells of the battlefield. And you take about 15 minutes, and not a word is spoken. You're just, every single individual is acclimating themselves, because those senses are very important. You're collectors out there, right? And it's not just your eyes, but your eyes and your sense of smell and your hearing and you know, the feel of the ground. Everything is really critically important. So, you know, I've been doing this since I've been 18. Right, either in the military or in law enforcement. So again, this is a learned trait. So my sense of smell is very acute, and I've worked with police officers that couldn't smell marijuana if it was right in front of them, burning in a bowl. They wouldn't be able to smell it. I could smell it six blocks away. Right, so I actually tracked a guy one time in the woods who ran from an arrest. He resisted arrest and ran from one of our sergeants. I tracked the guy in the woods because I could smell him. Right, and then I came around, and you know, knew he was waiting to ambush me, and I came around the backside and arrested him. But anyway, long story short, right, you got to trust your senses.
No kidding. 12:42 here on WASR. It's Eric Scott, of course, with Chief Dean Rondo. You had mentioned doing the midnight shift here in Wolfboro. Granted, during the summer, I'm sure it's a little busier in the winter. But going back to our original premise of police boredom, especially in the winter, what does one do on the
Great question. I'm glad you asked that question. So there is no so hear it from me. There is no more dangerous shift than the midnight shift here in Wolfboro. Okay. Boring and dull, but can be punctuated by absolute moments of sheer terror. But there is no more dangerous shift. That is it. All right. And here's the reason why. Because it's boring, because it's dull, because things do happen. They just don't happen at the frequency that you normally would expect them to happen during the day or evening, if that makes sense. That's number one. Number two is that we are one of very few police departments that do 24-hour service, right? So state police are off the roads by midnight, 2 in the morning. Sheriff's department is off the road by 2,300 hours. That's 11 p.m., all right? There are no other towns doing dedicated midnight patrols until you get to Conway. Wolfboro and Conway traditionally have been the only two agencies that run dedicated midnight patrols and have. We've been doing it for 25 years. We did it before I got here. You know, Wolfboro's been running midnight patrols for probably the better part of 40 years. Very limited backup. That's why it's dangerous. I'm not going to tell you here, I'm not going to sit here and look you in the eye and tell you it's crazy, busy, insane. It's not. It's dull. It's boring. And complacency sets in, and that's a killer. That's a killer. I want, as a chief of police, there's no mystery here, and I know this you know, the budget committee will invariably hear this interview, and their heads will come off and go sideways, but I want two officers on the midnight shift always. And right now we only have one dedicated officer on the midnight shift. When I can, I get them some overlap, but It depends on coverage. It depends on vacations. Did somebody call out sick? We really need, it's 2021. We really need a second dedicated officer on that midnight shift just for officer safety purposes.
That makes sense.
Well, I would I think so.
Well, unfortunately, though, there's a financial reality to things.
Well, that's just it, you know, and that's what that's the thing, right? You have to hire an officer. Actually, it's not one officer. You'd have to hire 2.5. We're 24 hours a day, so you need 2.5 officers to cover that, because you're talking around the clock.
So you're talking six figures.
Cost. Yes. Yep.
That's a big number.
It is, and it's expensive. You know, relatively speaking, everything being relative, you know. It's not $500,000, no, but it's expensive.
So is that going to be on your wish list for the next budget?
Not the next budget, no. But we're going to have to, you know, certainly within 5 years, we're going to have to really seriously sit down with the policymakers. And you know, that would be the police commission and the board of selectmen and town manager and the budget committee, and have a serious discussion about this and officer safety. And I think it you know, anything we do to provide better safety and security for not just the citizens and the business owners, but the officers, is a plus. It lowers liability, lowers department liability, lowers town liability. I think it's a good thing. But again, you just said the other side of the coin is, geez, that's expensive. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Especially when, as you say, 95% of the time, it's
oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. No, I get it. And some people say, well, that's hard to justify. I don't think it's hard to justify. I think it, for a lot of politicians, it's probably a tough commitment to make. But I think you're making it for all the right reasons. Because we're talking, ultimately, at the end, we're talking about human life.
Right.
You know, and whether it's the officer's life or whether it's, you know, protecting life and property of a citizen. At the end, it's really preservation of life.
Sure, I understand that, but now come up with the extra money.
Yeah, they're, you know, you're right, and It's tough. It's a tough call. I obviously, I've got to do the right thing, right? That I perceive to be the right thing, and I got to get people to look at reality and face facts. And, you know, this is not Wolfboro 1957 no more. That ship has sailed, and we ain't on it. This is now Wolfboro 2021. I mean, look at the division and divisiveness we've had in this country just this last past year, right? There's been last year there were more police killings, I think, ever than in the history of the nation. So it's not getting any more peaceful out there.
Now that I believe.
And people say to me all the time, I can't believe you're still a cop, you know, and I think, well, you know, I like what I'm doing. I love the town of Wolfboro.
Right? That's why I still do what I do.
Right. So what has to happen, I think, in this regard is, you know, we have to have a discussion. We have to have a debate. And there's nothing wrong with talking about this, right? There's nothing wrong with bringing it up and having a debate and having good, honest discussion and kicking it back and forth. Hopefully at the end of the day, sanity will prevail. But I think we have to talk about it.
Well, tell me a little bit about this midnight shift. It's a patrol shift for the most part?
Oh, it's a definitely patrol shift. So, yeah, so your question, I didn't fully answer, right? Let me get back to it. We'll circle back.
get granular, you know, keep me in the pipeline.
Yeah. So what you do is, you know, you hit the patrol officer will come in, the midnight officer will come in, he may have some directed patrol tasks. You know, he may have some things that the sergeant or the captain need him to do. He'll get those things done. You know, and then it really becomes almost an anti-crime patrol at that point, where you're driving to, just like the old Adam 12 movies, right? You're driving down the alleyways. You're hitting the businesses with your lights, you're getting out of the cruiser, you're checking doors, you're looking for stolen cars, you're that's what you're doing, right? And you're hitting the, if there's been a high crime area, if there's been something from that has come off the earlier evening shift, you're doing follow up, looking for, you know, evidence or you're looking for additional information that may have happened from a crime or whatever the case may be, or you got bolos be on the lookout for, you're looking for that stuff. But yeah, you're shaking doors, you're rattling doors, you're checking cars, you're hitting the high crime areas, you're making sure the businesses are safe. That's what you're doing.
So you don't just like park behind a billboard and, you know, just watch for somebody coming down the street?
No, that's not what you're doing, because if you're doing that,
right,
so somebody's getting burglarized. No, you got to be active. You got to be moving.
It's, in a way, it's well, yeah, in a way that makes sense. And are there many calls for service during that time?
There are calls for service. There are always calls for service, but it's not nearly as many as you would have, right, say, 8 to 4, 4 to... Four to midnight or 6 to 2.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
We're talking with Chief Dean Rondell, the Wolfboro Police Department. It's 12:51. Thank you very much for listening. 569 Lake, if you want to, if you have a question or agree or disagree with something. What is, you had said earlier, complacency sets in. How do you fight that?
You got to stay active. You got to stay active. You know, when I was doing the midnights, you know, it was all about staying active, getting out there. Okay, what can I be doing now? What should I be doing now? You know, thinking about, okay, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning. And that's, you know, interestingly enough, that's the point of what is called maximum fatigue, is at 3:30 in the morning, right? And there was a reason when I was an infantry officer, and we were doing a movement to contact or a direct attack, I would always plan my attacks to coincide exactly at 3:30 in the morning. And I used to put my troops, I used to get them on a sleep plan ahead of time and put them down for rest, you know, starting like 4 or 5 days earlier, so they'd be wide awake at 3:30 in the morning, and we're ready to go, because if I'm hitting enemy sentry positions at 3:30 in the morning, they're going to be, trust me, they're going to be fast asleep. And I remember during an RTEP exercise in Kansas, right, we're aggressing against a tank company. I took out a whole, as a rifle platoon leader, I took out a whole tank company. I caught them asleep. Took out the whole tank company. Spray painted their tanks pink. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back, 3:30 in the morning, stay moving. You got to stay moving, you know, and so that means that you got to get plenty of sleep the night before, right? And you got to be well rested, or as well rested as you can. I'll tell you right now, the midnight shift is an abnormal shift. Nobody wants to be awake at 3:30 in the morning, or even at midnight. I mean, we're not nocturnal animals, unless you're, you know, a 20-something and you already know everything there is to know about life, and you're going to stay playing, you know, Minecraft with your Goomba buddies. But, you know, whatever.
Well, there's something to be said for that too. Any game that comes with an instruction manual, I don't need. I'm sorry if I can't look at it and go, yeah, I got it. You know, like,
folks,
asteroids,
trust me. He looks like he's 30 something, right? He does. This is the youngest looking guy I've ever seen before. I know he's going to say it's the hair.
We're about the same age.
We are the same age.
Yeah.
I don't look as young as he does, believe me.
No, I turned 56 last month.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right, well, I got you beat by 2 years.
Did you enjoy your Father's Day?
I did. Did you?
I did.
Good.
Went over to my son's house. We had a huge cookout.
Good.
Now I got enough leftovers now for a week.
Good for you. Yeah, I love leftovers.
Especially barbecue leftovers.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So what else is going on in Wolfboro?
So Wolfboro's actually, thank you very much, getting back to that, because we started talking about that and we didn't finish. Wolfboro's been incredibly busy, and it started early. It started like mid-April. This is going to be a wonderful summer. Business-wise, I think it's going to be a wonderful summer. We're seeing the activity. We had over 9,000 vehicles in one week down on Bay Street, over 6,000 down Sewell Road. Pardon me. It's shaping up to be very, very busy and good. And it's a good busy. People want to get out there. They want to have fun. They want to get on their boats, or they want to rent a boat, or they want to go to the beach. Public Works did a phenomenal job down on Kerry Beach. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's beautiful. My wife and I were down there swimming yesterday. What a spectacular job that was done on Kerry Beach. Just phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. So I was just thinking about this. You know, over the last, say, 20 years, we have really done remarkable work on the infrastructure here in Wolfboro. Albee Beach is beautiful with brand-new bathhouse facilities and... And by the way, much needed, much needed. Though all of those improvements are much needed, because I think I told you this. I used to lifeguard for Wolfboro. I used to lifeguard for Alton too when I was a kid, and the facilities we had were really at that time were really deplorable, and we've really improved them tremendously. Yes, I know it costs tax money, but they're beautiful. Beautiful. So take advantage of it, especially if you're a taxpayer. This is your tax dollars. This is as much as yours as anyone else's. And but the facilities are beautiful. We've really done a lot of good work. Dave Ford, as far as I'm concerned, gets high marks for the work that he's done over the last, say, 15 or so years here in Wolfboro. The projects have been just beautiful. You know, they've really come out nice.
Do the beaches add up to more police calls?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we've always had beaches,
but
you know, we do have calls at the beaches for all sorts of, you know, public intoxication or drinking or, you know, what have you. Yeah, we do have those calls, but you get those anywhere, right? If you know, way back in the day when you and I were partying down on Revere Beach, come on.
Oh,
struck
yeah.
a nerve. Standing, struck a nerve.
Standing there waiting for my roast beef sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, never been there.
Speaking Kelly's of which, what beef. Was the name of that? What was the name of that roast beef joint by the Charles Street Jail in Cambridge? Right there. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh my God! Oh, the roast beef sandwich was so good, so good. I've never had a roast beef sandwich taste as good ever.
There was a place in Peabody where I grew up called Bill and Bob's. And that was a great roast beef sandwich, along with Kelly's on Revere Beach.
Maybe that's what. Maybe it was Kelly's. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe
there were
it was
a couple
Kelly's.
Of them. There was one in Saugus too.
Yeah. Oh.
Right by where Caldor used to be.
Yeah. Do you remember Orion Heights? Did you ever go to Orion Heights Beach? Right by Logan Airport.
The beach? No. I know it from the subway stop.
Yeah.
That's about all.
Yeah. I used to go to that beach a lot.
That's nice.
Yeah.
12:57. We got a couple of minutes to go here on WASR as we were talking about more the more boring parts of police work. Now you can get that during the day too. I mean, you know.
Oh, sure you can.
Cop.
Trust me, there is nothing more boring than pulling day shift during Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, I can imagine.
Ugh. Oh. Yeah. There is nothing moving.
It's funny you say that. I was driving home from our cookout last night. I remarked to my wife how light the traffic was. It was just everybody must have been doing something for Father's Day.
We were down Sunday. Shelley, my wife, wanted to go. She wanted to go down to. She hit me with this late to Portsmouth. To do some shopping and so forth, and I was already into my woodworking projects and yard work, and of course I'm ADD, right? So I do some yard work and then do some woodwork, and then it goes to do some yard work, and then I watch a squirrel, and then I come back and do some yard work, and so we were down in the malls Sunday evening, and there was like nothing. There was like no one there. I'm like, where is everybody? And my wife said, quipped, oh, they must be all up at Laconia or Motorcycle Week. I said, that one, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. But I'll tell you right now, like no traffic in Portsmouth. None.
I'm hearing that there are 500,000 people were in Laconia.
Easily.
Do you get reports about that?
We see the motorcycle traffic over here, but not like Laconia does.
Okay. All right. It is 1 o'clock. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so we will have to end it here. Thanks again for coming in. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Learned something today. We had a little fun.
See you next Monday.
Could be worse. Yep. Next Monday.
Woohoo!
1 o'clock.